Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this echo, come on now. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, y'all, but this technology.
Okay, do what you got to do. We have to go out and come back in.
Brother Satari, go ahead.
Okay, you want me to go ahead and do the reading for today?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy's having difficulty coming in. So we're going to go straight to the reading for the day, and then maybe by then he'll have his stuff worked back out. Reading for the day. Every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And it's a gentleman used to say, why should white boys have all the fun? And I'm trying to remember who's the author of that book. But anyway, you know, if we're not going to be able to change wealth and remove the curse of poverty in our families, then who will? And our reading for the day goes like this. Just the facts, Mama. The only thing you can learn from studying poverty is how to be poor. Robert Woodson, director of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. One of the most common reasons people have for not pursuing their dreams is the state of the economy. The economy or the timing or the circumstances never quite right for success. These individuals never stop to realize that the economy is not something out there, it's something in here. No matter where the economy is or is headed, those who study economic facts and figures have the perfect reason for not chasing their goals. For example, the same people who study poverty or crime can prove unequivocally that you cannot walk three blocks in New York City without being badgered by the poor, nor breathe for 3 minutes in Los Angeles without coming to smog. Successful people don't depend on fortunate circumstances. For example, S.B. Fuller, the Fuller Birch man, an uneducated man born to a sharecropper parents experience a type of poverty that is thankfully rare today. His father left home when he was quite young. His mother died when he was in his teens. 20 years later, he arrived in depression-laden Chicago with nothing more than a briefcase full of ambition and capacity for hard work to match. Before his death, he would build a business empire worth more than $10 million. Even if times are so tough that only 1% of the population is fulfilling their dreams, with the U.S. population of over 300 million, the facts remain that more than 3 million people are reaching their goals. Certainly, you can be one of them. I can be, have, or do whatever I wish. I can live a more prosperous life. And S.B. Fuller, you know, better known as he's the man that started Fuller Brush Company. And I read his bio, and, you know, he talked about how one night he was out, and he decided he had a proposal he wanted to present to somebody, and decided
whatever light was on in a certain person's shop, that he would go in there and do his business pitch. And so, you know, he walked the streets for hours and hours. Finally, he seen a shop that had a light on. He knocked on the door. He went in. He gave the man his business proposal. And the man, he decided to invest in Mr. Fuller. And that helped him with being able to develop Fuller Brush Company, which is a company that started what we call sort of like door-to-door sales. And these people, they basically had a briefcase that they carried their products around in. I remember living in Evanston Village, and I had a gentleman that used to bring me my Fuller Brush products. I'm trying to remember his name. I forgot the man's name. But he used to bring me my Fuller Brush products, you know, and we used to talk about different things, and he was always on time. He was always punctual. He always wore a suit and a shirt and tie. Some people, you know, thought he was a Muslim because he dressed similar to where the Brothers of the Nation of Islam would dress when they was killing their fish and their bean pies. But he used to bring me my products. And so we developed a good relationship because at the time, you know, we were developing youth and teaching them entrepreneurship. And so, you know, he thought that was a very, very good thing. And he came in a couple of times and spoke to some of you about how he got started and the life of S.B. Fuller. So that's our reading for tonight. I hope that you got something out of that reading. And I'm going to turn it back over to David if he's got his technical difficulties out of the way. David, you there? You want to take it from here, Vernon?
Dave, you got to unmute.
Can somebody, can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right, thank God. First of all, I want to, you know, let you know that we was having some technical difficulties with the my main system. I'm waiting for that little device that you plug in so that your Wi-Fi could be more stronger. So, but in any case, there was a delay in that. So that's yesterday. So, but in any case, today I want to welcome everybody to the podcast. And you know, there's always going to be hiccups and with technology, but we have to move forward. Tonight, first and foremost, I want to thank my brother, Satava Jahi, for stepping up and stepping in. That's what good partners do. And I appreciate you, sir. And today is like a brand new day for me because a lot of things that was on my plate is now off of my plate. So I can focus on more different things, more escalating things. But some strange things is happening in media and to us as a people. And these things that happen to us as a people is nothing new. But it's just that they are escalating. I'm going to just give a small example. I'm not making any excuses for what happened. But over the weekend, I'm quite sure if you heard anything on the news about this rapper who had this event, I believe in Texas, and the people rushed to the stage and several people died and got hurt and all sorts of things went on. Now, and they are already, through the media, he's already been tried as far as I'm concerned. They're already calling him a criminal. They're already saying that, you know, it's his fault, but they, you know, I don't hear nothing about the partners or who else invested or security or anything else. They're already lining up to sue the brother. And they taking already, I've seen his past, what he did wrong in the past already. So through through media, he's actually being crucified, even though he's on the stage and the people are rushing because he's one of the, I guess, one of the owners or something like that. You know, all the fault was going to him. But then I'm going to flip it over. Now, we saw what just happened in the Capitol. where y'all president, and I'm going to say that again, you all's president, told people to go to the Capitol. People died in that too, and they bummed us and they tore stuff, you know. But I don't see nobody taking him to court. I don't see nobody suing him. And so, you know, so these are the tales of two cities, so to speak, how justice is done for them and justice is done for us. And that's just one of the hurdles that we all, that, you know, we as African, Black, melanated people has to go through. But I'm always on this podcast with some very talented people, very caring people, very knowledgeable people. And I've been kind of focusing on, you know, about us. That's my thing, we, us, Black people, and how we can do better for ourselves, how we can do for ourselves, how we can make a better way for our future generations. See, that's what the National Black Unity News is all about. It's about, you know, us uplifting us. It's about us sharing with us. It's about us giving solutions so that all of us can have a better quality of life. And tonight, I just want to, you know, talk on this subject of obstacles, how, as Black people, as a people, how we can overcome that. And then we have many on all fronts. And most of you are already solution-driven people. And so I would like for you to share some information with us tonight about, in your particular area, how would you recommend some of them hurdles that we have to go through. Now, we have people like, I see Kathleen Murphy on there. She loves working with children, reading and stuff like that. And for example, in most of our schools, I say, for, you know, statistics go, that most African Americans are reading way below the level as everybody else. You know, we're at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. And to me, that's an obstacle. It's not that we can't read. Yeah, I guess it's how we're being taught to read. But I'm quite sure, because I heard her mention this several times, and I would like her to speak on it a little later on, as to how do we overcome that from her perspective. And the same thing with Fran Allen, I see, is on there. She deals with motivation, and she's multi-talented, but she, you know, a lot of us have pretty much had low self-esteem. And I know that by a personal example because of my personal upbringing. Based on what I seen on television, then what I saw in reality were two different stories. And I happened to go to a predominant Caucasian white school. And I felt a little inferior. My levels of self-worth was very, very low at the time, because I seen things differently and I felt different. But in their world, I was different. But it kind of messed me up big time back in those days, because it led to some other things that you know, kind of, you know, I'm lucky to survive. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, you know, before we get started in this conversation, I just want to do one thing before we get started. And, you know, we just had an event this past Saturday with a group I'm a member of called Black Men Unifying Black Men. And we had, once a year, we give a special event. And we had, on this occasion, we celebrated or honored 21 Black men. And I happened to be one of them. I didn't speak at the event because we weren't supposed to. We said nobody was going to speak. We let a few people do it anyway. But I just want to take this time for those who's online, on Facebook Live, those who are on Blog Talk Radio, those who's on those other formats that were there, and it also was, you know, being broadcast live at the same time. I just want to thank those who supported me. And today I happened to go on my site. They had a picture of me up on there, and quite a few people chimed in, you know, congratulating me. So I want to say thank you to all of those people. But I want to give a special shout out to the National Black Unity News family, because, you know, we all over the country, but we was up in that place at this past Saturday. We were strong. We had Brother Dempsey, Walter Dempsey Murphy was there. Kathleen Murphy was there. Vernon Streeter was there. Rico Crowley was there. Dr. Wattis was there. Brother Umoja was there. And Bill Curtis was there. Brother Bilal Omar was there. And I may be missing a few of them. Bill Gooden, of course, because he's one of the members. But we had a pretty strong show, and I truly appreciate it, because, you know, that meant a lot to me personally. You know, and I'm going to shut up about this anyway, but I'm just going to share something with you about obstacles. You know, years ago when I started into publishing, you know, I had no clue, none whatsoever, how to do a publication. I was a printer at the time. I knew how things supposed to look. And that's all I had to go with me. But I stepped out on faith with God. And then one day, I ended up holding a newspaper in my hand. But during that time, I used to get this vision. And I don't, most of you remember what they called the Essence Award Show, BT Awards. I used to watch those shows. I used to always like seeing my people celebrate it. But this vision would always come to me saying one day I would be amongst my peers and I would be honored. And Saturday, to me personally, you know, but I also didn't know what was going on, but to me personally, that was a vision came to fruition, came to reality. Because I was amongst my peers, and I did get on it. So, you know, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for your participation and your support. Because, like I said, you never know the actions that you take, the words that you say, how it can be a blessing to someone or a cursing, for that matter. But in my case, it was such a blessing from my brother. I want to give a shout out to Black Men Unifying Black Men for honoring me in the first place. And the second thing is, you know, honor to God and most important to each and every one of you. So with that being said, thank you. I truly, truly appreciate it. But getting back to our subject tonight, and I'm going to pick on my brother because, like I say, he's very knowledgeable about us and all of us are. But I think his brother, he kind of focused on it very deeply about the situation with Black people. Brother Cliff, you know, I'm working two systems here. Can you unmute yourself, sir? I just want to ask you a question.
All righty, sir. Greetings, everyone. How's everyone today?
Fine. Well, I'm doing great.
Wonderfully well.
Yeah, Brother Cliff, based on, you know, the subject that we're talking about tonight, obstacles that Black people have to endure, have to overcome, and you know, and like I said, there's so many on every front. But from your perspective, you can pick and choose any area that you want to cover because they got us around with these obstacles. But in your case, what would you suggest we Black African Americans do to overcome some of these obstacles, especially the obstacles that you focus on?
Okay.
And that's unity, I believe. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, if we want to overcome the external obstacles that we face, the first thing we have to do is overcome the internal ones. We're operating at a deficit already because the history of this country and the way the government passed laws over the last several hundred years have all been pretty much stacked against not only our freedom, but our progress and our uplift. And then you've got the mass media, which continues to spread a whole lot of craziness. I just yesterday, I had to kind of clap back at somebody on WhatsApp who had put out a false bit of news about the CEO of Pfizer getting arrested for fraud. And it turns out not only was that a false news story, but it was also a news story that was propagated by a right-wing website. Why we keep on paying attention to what right-wing websites tell us is beyond me. But someone felt that they had to post this, and a few people actually believed that it was true, despite the fact that it was posted by essentially what I consider to be our ideological enemies. But there are all these things that are already stacked against us. But I think the thing that holds us back more than anything are the obstacles that we put up ourselves. And I was just thinking about this earlier today. One of the big ones I think is what I guess I would call, you know, you have toxic masculinity. Well, I would call it toxic intellect, where a lot of us, because we know a little something, we think we know everything. And so as a result, all of a sudden, we don't have to listen to what the people say. And you see this in international organizations all the time. They create these working groups and these international panels of experts. The United Nations does it. The African Union does it. And they create these panels of experts, but what they come up with never really drills down to what's happening to people on a local level, because they never actually get down to speaking to the people on a local level. They're too busy meeting in their little enclaves, coming up with all the intellectual arguments, separating their shoulders, patting themselves on the back. So I think that's a big part of it, but it even comes forward when we're in organizations where you've got one person who, because they know a little bit, let's say they know a little bit about Pan-Africans, they've read a lot of the classic books and works and everything. All of a sudden, someone who hasn't read those works doesn't have any credibility oftentimes in that person's eyes. And sometimes they will hammer that home. They will quote some leader. They'll quote Amilcar Cabral or Kwame Nkrumah or someone like that, based on the idea perhaps that if they say what those great Pan-Africanist leaders said, it will perhaps imbue in them some degree of knowledge and authority, or at least if they say that they are quoting those people, it'll make everybody else think so. And then as a result, no one will challenge them. And sometimes when they are challenged, they get upset about it. They put their foot down. They go all Eric Cartman on everyone. You know, how dare you question me, respect my authority. And then, at that point they become all authoritarian, because I've seen it happen in order. Where the second somebody had any kind of a complaint or an argument about the way a particular organization was being run, the leaders of those organizations would throw the hammer down. And then they would accuse that person, well, how dare you refer to a queen mother in that tone? Or how dare you refer to a nana in that tone? Or I am your elder and I am your baba and I am your intellectual superior and you should listen to me. So sometimes that happens, and that'll... I've seen a number of really promising organizations crumble because of essentially what appears to me to be an example of toxic intellect. And I got to fight. I fight against that too, because I read a little bit. And so sometimes because I read a little bit, I can take 10 words, put them together and make a sentence. Then I've got to make sure that I don't go out there and start quoting all these leaders and trying to create this facade that I'm such a brilliant, smart guy. Is that someone who doesn't speak as easily as I do without throwing some lights in your nose in there doesn't have a valid point of view as well. And so I think all of us kind of have to fight that. And I think once we get past the point where we're leaning on our perceived expertise and excluding everyone else and ripping other people because they don't feel the same way as we do, or because they express a different opinion as us, we're going to suddenly turn around and call them an agent provocateur or something like that. I think we have to get past that. We get past that, then that'll knock down one of the major barriers to our coming together as a people. So I'd say the first thing we need to do is to get over ourselves and to stop being so elitist sometimes with what we know, and to be willing to engage with people who don't necessarily see a thing the same way we do, and talk to them instead of talking at them, talking down at them. So I would say that would be the biggest thing. Once we overcome that, then we'll be better able to deal with the obstacles that our enemies put up in front of us. And if we don't do that, then we'll never overcome those obstacles, because we'll start fighting among ourselves again.
Right. I appreciate that, sir. And so you a valid point. You know, we have to deal with eternal issues, and you know, and I think hopefully we all are working on that. And but you know, like I say, we have to operate on several principles. I always say, you know, the God principles, natural principles, and man's principles. And since we have to deal with all of them, why are we working on the inside, getting ourselves together? You know, we still had to deal with the outside. And so I'm going to go to Dr. Pender. Did I see? Is he still on here? Dr. Pender, are you available? Okay. Dr. Pender, if you're available, let me know. Okay. Well, I'm going to move right along.
He unmuted himself and then he muted.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. I hear you, sir.
Okay. Dr. Pender, he's still muted. You're still muted. Doc, you got to unmute.
Okay, how about that?
There you go.
Yes, sir, I hear you.
Loud and clear, okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I want to ask you. Earlier today, I was listening to, what's that brother named, George Fraser.
Yes.
And he was speaking about us, we. Mm-hmm. And he went back to the church, and I know that's one of your things that you focus on a lot, the church.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, as you always say, back in the day for things to get started, for us to overcome things, where we met at was the church. The mm-hmm. church was almost like the employment agency. The church was a social, you know, agency. The church was just about everything in the community, youth organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, somehow, we got separated. It's like the church lost its flavor, lost its strength or something, or they went in a different direction. And from, you know, back in the day, we accomplished a lot of obstacles in those times. And that was one of that barbershops and places like that was some of the hubs that we kind of gathered and shared information. So from your take, sir, how do you see the church and how can we get back on track, far as you are concerned, with the church?
But thank you for having me on this evening, and hello to everyone. Yes, the church was the center of the community. In fact, it was the center of the community of the universe for us as a people. When we moved away from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the church was actually essentially the family, because everybody accumulated at the church on a weekly basis. Most of your programs was done at church is because of the Jim Crow era in which we had ourselves, and segregation was very bad. And until the 60s came along, and then for some reason, I guess got involved in a movement that says we want integration. Integration come along, and the church was thriving is because your civil rights movement came out of the church. The church, a penny here, a penny, a dollar here, and so on and so forth. And beyond that, when the movement took place and Martin Luther King came to Petersburg quite a bit, he was in the Virginia area quite a bit. When the movement went forward, the church was at the center because that's where he did most of his speaking. Now, at the same time, in the churches, we had most of our black fathers and our grandfathers and our mothers were in the church. It was the foundation. 2 cents here, 5 cents here, a dollar here. And most kids attended church. It was the foundation. It's the springboard for us as a people. But just as soon as this thing called integration came in, for some odd reason, and I don't know the figures, our people began to move away from that foundation, which they had a good relationship with God. They didn't know everything, but they knew there was a God somewhere, somehow. And he brought us through some troublesome times. But in the 60s, when we merged ourselves, I guess you would say, with this thing called integration was good, but at the same time, it caused segregation among ourselves. And so we began to segregate because now I have a job. I'm making more money than Al, who I grew up with. So I'm going to move to the other side of town. I'm going to become like them, you know, like the y'all call them white people. I call them bleached-out Negroes.
Okay.
So anyway, so we began to segregate among ourselves. Now the church began to blossom is because now you have these super preachers, and I'm one of them, I guess, super duper preachers that now we're in it for the money. So you're paying me $100,000 to $200,000 a year. I got this great big car. I live on the other side of town. I deal with you from a distance, and my deacons, they do all the work. So the church becomes functional, but at the same time dysfunctional to the extent. So our people right now, but here we are in 2000, have become disenfranchised, I guess, with the churches because it has lost its interest because of education. Education drew us, a lot of our people, away from the church. It's because we figured that we were better than others, and we began to get into cliques and so on and so forth, and the church is still there. It is the center of the community. That the problem is some of the people in the church have forgotten where they come from. And here we are in 2021 with the church still the hub of society, and yet we neglect our greatest power. Some of us.
Okay. Well, you got a point there, and you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to move forward, but some things need to stay where it's at, you know, because it was working for us. And I appreciate you for that, sir. Now, I'm going to move on to Sister Fran Allen. Can you unmute yourself, please?
I'm unmuted, Dave.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that when I was coming up, because I saw two worlds. The world that I came up with totally different from what I seen on television. And then I moved, like Dr. Pendleton said, then I moved to what you would say on the other side of town at the age of 11 years old, a predominantly white community. And I ended up going to a predominant white school. And I seen the difference from even from the neighborhood that I was in, from the neighborhood that I came from. The lifestyles were pretty much totally different. But even in the school system. But then because I guess I was an outcast, outsider, I was treated, you know, from the time I went to school, they was protesting. They was calling us all kinds of their children. We was number children, and they was calling us all kinds of, so that messed up. I thought something was really wrong with me. And so psychologically, mentally, whatever you want to call it, it messed me up because I began to think that something was, you know, truly wrong. But by you dealing with, how would you say, motivation, inspiration, you write books on it. How for people like myself, you know, some techniques that we can use to get out those, you know, those mindsets. Because like Brother Cliff said, if we don't change our mindset from within, it's going to be extremely difficult to deal with something, you know, the things on the outside. But from your perspective, our friend, from an inspiration, motivation point of view, and you know that in the cities, in the suburbs, just about everywhere you go, we're dealing with some serious mental problems. I don't care what level you're on, we have some internal issues a lot of us have to deal with. So what would be the obstacle that you suggest how we can overcome that one when it comes to motivation, inspiration, things like that?
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Let me apologize before I get started. I had a second to think about this, and I know I'm a step on some toes, and it is not my intention to insult you or to tick you off, but sometimes foot to butt is the only way we can go for people to truly understand. Cliff was spot on. We have to get over ourselves. We have to get over ourselves. Stop being the person that you think is so smart because you know two things about something, and really put some time, effort, and energy into developing yourself. When is the last time that you picked up a book that taught you something? When was the last time you chose to watch something on television that was going to inform you and educate you as opposed to entertain you? And when is the last time you made your kids sit down and pick up a book as opposed to a controller for a game system? Okay, stop making your television the babysitter and be the parent you're supposed to be. And you might learn something in the process as well. Go figure. But I'm not pointing fingers at people, man. I brought up two kids, and where there were times when I wanted to see, that was back in the day when VCRs were hot, and I wanted them to watch cartoons, and I'd pop one in that VCR. I sure would. But that was not a regular occurrence. That was when I was at the end of the rope, and the choices were knock them out or make them watch something so you can take a deep breath. Okay, so it was really in their best interest to watch some cartoons while I got myself together. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want people to ask themselves this question. How much of your energy are you going to use on things you can't change or control? If you can't change it and you can't control it, why are you jumping up and down about it? You're using up your energy, and then you know you got to go home, cook, clean, and all that stuff that you're too tired to do because you've been hooping and hollering about something that you can't change and you can't do anything about all day long. This is nonsense. Those obstacles, sometimes they're not just processes and policies. Sometimes it's people. They're haters. So I say I look at the obstacles and the haters as the same thing. And I'm telling you that the obstacles or the haters only have the power if you give them the power. And you give them the power by wasting your energy on things that you can't do anything about. So how effective are the obstacles are or the haters are is really up to you. It's a choice. So let me just say this. Are you going to use failure? When you fail at something, are you going to use it to fuel your fear or strengthen your faith? Because if you use it to fuel your fear, that's what all that hooping and hollering is about, because you done got scared. But when you use it to strengthen your faith, you go in the office or wherever you can go, you read the thing that's going to make you smarter about what you're trying to do, and then you're going to go and build a network of people that will support your effort. That's where you should be using your energy. Because that is the thing that is going to give you an opportunity to see change. You can't do it by yourself. What do you believe in? You know, do you believe in yourself? Because if you don't, then you're shot in the foot before you get started. So stop letting everybody else tell you what you're not and what you can't have and where you can't go and what you can't do. Do some work on you. So when they start saying that nonsense, you can tell them, get behind me, because you are nothing but negativity trying to mess up my day. Because I know who I am. I know what I want. I know how I'm going to get it. And I know I'm not going to let you stand in my way. And it's going to be a problem if you don't move. See, haters will get out of your way. They just want to challenge you, but they're not going to fight you. Change your game face. Change your game face. You ain't got to go in a game looking like, you know, you scared half to death. You don't have to go in there and looking like you're going to beat everybody down either. Sometimes you got to wear your poker face. They don't need to know where your mind is at. All they need to know is that you're standing in front of them and that if they don't get out of the way, it might be a problem. That's enough to make them move right there. Okay? Do you believe that you can or you can't? Do you believe that you will or you won't? Do you believe that you do or you don't? Everything, all of your energy, all of your ability to move past the obstacles all starts with what you think. If you think you cannot overcome the obstacle, you're shot in the foot, sit down somewhere and get out the way for the next guy. But if you believe you can, if you know you can, if you are willing to do the work on you so that you can power yourself up as opposed to powering yourself down, there isn't anything that you can't do. You just have to believe that you can and then move forward. Act as though you have already achieved, because that's what the people that have achieved do. It's all about the choice that you make. We have to make some better choices. We got to make some better choices. Look, I don't begrudge anybody having a beer when they get off from work. But if you're drinking 10 cans of beer before you go to bed and then you can't get up and go to work in the morning, that was a choice. You could have stopped it too and been cool. But But you didn't. You stopped at 10, and then you impeded your own ability to be able to perform, which has created an obstacle for you that you blame it on somebody else. Just make better choices.
That's right.
Just make better choices. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to shut up with this. Stop putting more energy into working for someone else than you do in developing yourself. Because if you spend the time to develop yourself, you'll find other people working for you. I'm done.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to move right along. Brother Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir? You know, words, I keep telling people, words are powerful no matter what form they come in, singing, writing, books, theater, whatever. But, you know, people listen to them. And, but my brother Leroy, he deals with, he's an author, and he also assists other people to become authors or already are, helps produce their books. And there's a lot of information in books. And sometimes if you don't know something, you know, sometimes you have to do a little research. And so, Brother Leroy, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. I can. Can you hear me again?
Yeah, very good. Very good, sir. You know, we were talking about obstacles, how to overcome them. And I was getting different perspectives from different people because they deal with different areas. But like I said, we are surrounded by obstacles. And sometimes, you know, I'll say this a little later on, but sometimes obstacles are very good for us. Because how would you know what your capabilities are if you don't know how to go through or around or over something? And most of our lives, there's always been obstacles in front of us, not from other people, sometimes in our own homes, our own school system. You know, it's a lot of it with our own selves sometimes. But from your perspective, sir, far as books, reading, and I also mentioned that, you know, based on statistics that, you know, our people, our children are not reading on certain levels as the world system's children are, you know. But in any case, how do you see books as a solution to some of our obstacles?
That's a great question. I'll start by saying this, and you mentioned him earlier, Dr. George Frazier. And he says this often, pretty much I think every time he speaks. He says the average person only reads one book per year. Average person only reads one book per year. The late Dr. Miles Monroe, I remember hearing him say one time, he reads or read 60 books. A year. He was reading 60 books a year, which averaged out, I think, till about like five books a month. That's five books a month. That's like a book a week. But what we get, and here's the thing, leaders are readers. Warren Buffett, he said spends about 70 to 75% of his day reading, whether it's books, magazines, articles, or anything like that. They talked about President Obama. They read what they bigger. They read, I don't know, they didn't say how many books they read, but they spent a large amount of time reading. And those that put the time into reading, you gain so much knowledge, you gain so much information, you gain resources, and it can take you places that, you know, that you didn't think that you could go to, especially when you talked about children. Can you imagine if kids were able to read about certain parts of the world? They read about Africa and the great things that come from the continent, that are on the continent, the culture of Africa, and what happens when you pour that information into a child and how that stays with them as they grow. So that's the power of reading. And even us as adults, you know, my challenge, and I don't know if I did it here, and I think I did say it here as well, spending each day reading, if you read 20 pages a day for a year, 365 days, you will have read 30 books in a year. And Kobe Bryant talked about this in one of his interviews. He talked about his regimen and his workout that he had. But he talked about having his regimen. He would start his day at 4 o'clock, really getting up at 3, be to the gym at 4, work out for 2 hours, come back, eat, go back, work out for another 2 hours, then come back, have lunch, then go back, work out for another 2 hours, and then have his dinner, and then get ready to go to bed, and then repeat that cycle all over again. And he talked about that in this sense. He talked about it from being, if you do that regimen that he had, it was going to make him significantly better than the other NBA players that were just working out, let's say, from, just instead of, I think he said they may work out twice a day, where he's working out 4 times a day. And how, the separation that you get on a yearly basis if you're doing that. And the same, that same concept applies to us in reading. If we're reading 30 books a year, let's just take 30 books, even 12 books a year, that's one book a month. How much further along we are, or how much more information we gather from those that are only reading one book a year. The intelligence level becomes astronomical with us over the years. So that's the power of reading and the power that books give us when we take on that mindset.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, y'all bring some very valid points, and I truly appreciate your input. And I'm going to move on to this other brother. Brother Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir, David.
Yes, sir. Look, I know one of our major obstacles is economics. You know, we spend quite a bit of money. And we are considered one of the greatest consumers in the world because everybody feasts upon us. You know, everybody set up shops in the hood, make a fortune, take it out the hood and go about the business. So we do spend. But dealing with economics, and I know that's one of your areas, how do you suggest or how would you help us with dealing with our economy, so to speak? From your perspective.
Greetings, everyone. Sister Fran, Allen, Brother Cliff, Dr. Pender, Vernon Street, Leroy McKenzie, everyone that I do not see. Thank you all for having me on. On the economic spectrum, I am a capitalist in mindset, and I have to talk about me because this is the way I think, and people need to know the way that I think. And if you know the way that I think, you'll know what I like and what I don't like. But in reference to the paradox that you spoke about, that we have to deal with the good and the bad, the internal and the external, in terms of the internal, I am a person who has this proclivity to unity and unification of minds. And I'm also a methodical thinker as it relates to economics. And I believe that economics is the power that we need in order to overcome, leapfrog many of the obstacles that we experience. As an example, had we $1 billion capital, what would we do with this $1 billion capital? And the other mindset about the way that I think is I think from the paradise, from the position of the paradise, the position of the best. What is the best? Can we agree on what the best is? Can we unify with a plan to achieve the best and take the essential things that we all need in the first place, which I think is the escape from debt, the bondage of debt, the bondage in taking our money, our rent and our mortgage and our car payments and putting it into rent and mortgages and car payments when in my mindset we are wealthy in the first place. However, we don't have a plan in order to retrieve by harnessing, managing, developing, and creating endowments for our wealth, and that we are absent of a plan. In addition to the absence of the plan, we have to have a team, and that's why I have 1,000 great minds, because I think it takes 1,000 great minds. We need to run things through the brains of 1,000 great minds to see what the brain spins out, because we are not in life to make the worst decision. You know, every day we are here to make the best decision at every moment and at every time. And by having the undivided, sustained, focused, undistracted, undisturbed, full-time attention to what the plan is, the objective is to retrieve and repossess our wealth so that we can be more instant in our actions than distant in our actions, so that we may be or more instant in our actions than delayed in our actions. This is the reason why we need the wealth in the first place. I know about financial politics and political religion and all of those things, and I don't think those are the mechanisms that are going to help us to get there. Back to the $1 billion. And my thinking of how we could get $10 billion. And that would be for the Black community to give one time in 1 year, 1% of the $1.4 trillion, which would be roughly $14 billion in the possession of right-minded people. With $14 billion, you can go to the moon. You can go anywhere under the proper management of the money through creating, developing, managing businesses, creating, developing, and managing wealth so that when an issue comes up, if it's news-related, that we have a positional advantage because we have control of the airwaves by common sense, comprehending that we have to gain control of the airways. And I'll conclude with the idea that in economics, we must be Facebook and we must be Google, meaning that we must have 1 billion people minimum in the National Black Unity News, 1 billion people minimum on our platform. Why? Because once we have the 1 billion people on our platform, the rest of the people are in their families. And we're talking about from the paradise and giving all of these billion people in the first place the best. This is the best. You compare what you got to what we are offering in our paradise, and I believe that you're going to take the best and you're going to give it to your family. So that is the power, in my opinion, of economics, by unifying, first of all, with the brain in the form of 1,000 great minds and a plan in the form of getting everyone out of debt with the objective of producing, creating, developing, managing, and endowing wealth. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, sir. Appreciate that.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as thus far, you heard from Brother G-Cliff talking about working within. Then you heard Dr. Pender talking about how the church used to strengthen and still can if we work with it. Then you heard from Fran Allen talking about our mental state. You know, we have to deal with some serious issues. We got to make some decisions. Then we just heard from Brother Leroy McKenzie talking about the wonders of books, how books can take us there, how books can start us off on the right foot. You know, and not only that, I don't care what stage of life you're in, you need to pick up some books to expand your mind, to expand your territory. Then we just heard from Brother Michael Thomas speaking on economics, how collectively we can change our paradigm, we can change our whole way of being, we can change our future for our children. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm open up the lines before we shut down to anybody who wants to share. But let me just say this. Remember, I just mentioned to you that obstacles, and I'm coming from maybe more of a divine inspiration kind of thought. I mentioned earlier that obstacles has always been in our lives from one form or another. And sometimes I mentioned also that I believe obstacles are there to make us stronger, to make us wise if we choose to be. Because with anything in life, even as a little baby, when they began from crawling to walking, the first thing they had to overcome was, you know, first the courage to get up and start walking, which was an obstacle to a baby. Then once they was able to get up, then they had to learn balancing, which was an obstacle. And once they met, you know, overcame that, and then the taking the steps, and then they did a little baby walk, and next thing you know, they managed that. Next thing you know, they're running, you know, ripping and running. So, you know, but what I'm saying is that even in business, everything I can think about, there's obstacles put in our way, not for harm, not for bad all the time. Sometimes it's just for our good, because even from a divine purpose, I believe that God, sometimes when we say we're going to do this or he send us on a mission, he put an obstacle there. And that is to teach us, how do you get around this? What do you do to get over there? And once you finish that obstacle, then there's another, because there's always going to be something that's going to be in a way that you're going to have to overcome, that it's going to be challenging to you. And so, you know, it's like Brother Cripps says, it's in the mindset. We can look at this thing as a big obstacle, you know, this is this, I can't get around, I can't go over, I can't get under, so therefore I'm stuck here. Or you're going to sit there, use your mind, think how to do this, go around, try this, try that, try that, and maybe something going to break down and you're going to get over it. And so what I'm saying is, you know, obstacle be even, what's his name, that your old president. Sometimes even things that it seems like is meant for bad, but even a person like Donald Trump, yes, he's an obstacle, but he also was a motivator to a lot of us, because he brought out some stuff in this country that you know, a lot of us, you know, we kind of knew of it, but we didn't want to believe it. And Donald Trump was just a symbol. You know, because he brought out the stuff that a lot of people think, because it's obviously they put him, they made him president. So a lot of folks, not, I ain't saying they thought the way, but he had a lot of ideas like them. And even in the election that he lost, look how many votes he got. And so that just goes to show you that a lot of people that you thought was, you know, this way or that way, thinks another way. But they're going to do what they have to do. It's up to us to do what we need to do. And you just heard several solutions from several, you know, I think very unique people in their own ways, you know, how we can do this. So it's no excuse why we can't do what we need to do. None whatsoever. We just need to learn how to go around these obstacles. Move them out the way. Don't look at them as something that's going to hurt you and harm you sometimes. Look at it as, you know, to expand your territory, expand your mind. And with that being said, you know, it's getting a little, you know, around our time that we usually shut down on here. But as always, we control this. And so anyone, we have several people on here who deal with a lot of different issues in different ways. And this is the time, if you unmute yourself, share. If you have, if there's that, because I always say this, and I will continue to say this, that all of us have an opinion about this or about that. There's no one like you, no one in this entire, never before, never after. So the things that come from you, from your thoughts, from your vision, and your ideas, are only you. And only you, because somebody may have similar to, but you know, so sometimes the things that you may say or share with us can be such a blessing to the people on the call, to the people that's listening to us or who will hear this. And so please don't hold back sometimes, because the information that you have, like the old commercials say, the life you save may be your own. The information you put out there just may save some life or encourage some, like change some lives. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, unmute yourselves, and those who will, who want to share, you know, just open up. This is the time.
Hi, this is Dr. Ortiz. I don't have much to say, but I do want to say this. words are powerful, and they do plant seeds of knowledge. And what I came in so late, but what I have heard tonight from each one of the participants, you have planted the kinds of seeds that once they drop into the spirit of who may be receiving them, they have to begin to grow and manifest themselves from within. You talked about that mindset. Mindset is an internal thing. And sometimes we burn out our own mindset by allowing other people to infiltrate into our spirits because we are so weak sometimes. And we don't feel like we are worthy of what is being presented to us. So that mindset is a powerful thing, just like Fran was saying. That mindset, just like Dr. Pender was saying, that mindset, we have to learn how to accept who we are and what we were put here for. Each one of us is put here for a purpose. My purpose is different from your purpose, but it's all meaningful. And in the end, when all these seeds begin to drop and they begin to mulch into the earth, we begin to grow spiritually, and it spreads. It spreads, people, and I am just so glad to be a part of this unit. You guys are awesome. That's all I have to say.
And so are you, Dr. White. You are awesome as well. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah.
Even those who already spoke.
I just wanted to piggyback on Dr. Watiz just for a second. Vernon, I'm sorry for cutting you off. I'll be brief. What she said about the mindset, what I want to say is stop waiting for somebody else to motivate you.
Yes.
Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. I have stickies all over my house. They're everywhere. They're in the bathroom. They're in the kitchen. They're on the door before I go out the house into the garage. They're on the door when I come from the garage into the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the door before I go out my front door. They're at the on the side of the door in front of every stuff like tough times don't last or hard times don't stick around. I deserve to be successful. I'm going to stop giving negativity my power. You will get behind me because that's where you belong. I am successful because I choose to be. I am successful not because somebody else says I am, but because I say I am. I am smart because I do the work on me. Every time I think of something that I think is powerful, I write it down on a sticky and I post it someplace that I walk by every day. When I'm in my kitchen, I'm looking at, I believe in me. My success is immeasurable because I am capable. I can learn anything that I want to learn. I have these stickies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that, David, when I get on this call and you ask me for a motivational piece, I don't have to think hard about it because they're all over the place. All I have to do is just turn around and there's a sticky right there. Do it because you can, not because you have to, but because you can.
When I taught elementary school, I taught this little theme to my students, and it said, I am who I am because I am somebody. I can be who I want to be because I want to be somebody. I will fight to be who I know I can be because I know I can be somebody. And I had them repeat this every morning, and then they would get very loud and very forceful and aggressive with it because they started to believe it.
Yeah, because they started to believe it. And if you put that stuff in front of yourself every day and feed your subconscious becomes your actions, and your actions become your reality, and your reality becomes just as positive as you want it to be. But you feed yourself first. Stop waiting for somebody else to bring you the food. Give it to yourself. It's in there. Dig it out.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Murphy, you going to say something? Mr. Murphy. Okay. Anyone else?
All right. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Bernie.
All right. Yeah, I would like to believe that I'm a product of some, you know, the words that's been spoken since I've, you know, come to the National Black Unity News. I'm just being motivated by the words to do, you know, incredible things, you know, like we have been saying tonight, or you guys have been saying about the mind. And I was just thinking about my daughter had gave me, sent a game to me. She'd been playing it with me. She's been beating me. And then so I say, well, let me brush up on this game. So I went to play it by myself. So I went from beginner all the way to expert. And I stopped. And I could go on and then eventually, you know, probably could beat it. You know, learn all of the moves. It's kind of like chess, almost kind of like, you know, and just to think about our great minds, you know, we can create artificial intelligence, but we are greater than, you know, the artificial intelligence the computers are, really. You know, it's just that they can do things a lot faster, you know, speaking about the thousand great minds, you know, and, you know, just all of those things is wrapped into one. And how I came up with my platform, and several companies wanted to charge like $5,000 a month, and I would say, well, they're a person just like I am, you know. So I just began to do the research and everything, and I came up with the, you know, some of the same things that they came up with, and I did it myself. You know, I didn't reinvent the wheel. You know, because that could be a great task. I just use what's already been used, what they've been using, you know, and did it. And just stay focused and not depend on, you know, other systems, depend on myself and, you know, and people around me asking questions or whatever. And I was very successful. So I just want to encourage people that may be listening, you know, never doubt yourself, never doubt your ability, because like I said, everyone's been saying God put us here for a purpose, and we have to find out what that purpose is. And it's not so much dependent on other people, it's dependent on ourselves to help others.
All right, my brother, I appreciate that. And I think we heard about just about from everyone. Ruth Ministries, would you like to share anything? If you do, you can unmute yourself.
Absolutely. How you doing, everybody?
Fantastic.
I'm glad to be a part of this. But one major thing, we are so powerful men here. And I'm so glad to get back into your role, being leadership. We being a woman to back you up. That's our job. There's a lot of things that we have to realize. We have to deal with the spirit within us. He brought us here. He brought us here to do his work, his love that he has for us. That's the love we have to live on, not the love of each other. They would turn on us. There's a lot of black men can't read. Churches teach them to read. There's a lot of black men and women, but mostly men are the leaders, get molested and things like that. You don't know what's going on with them. But if they don't know how to release it, they can still hold it and feel that that's a bondage for them. So we have to find out what's holding us back individually and motivate us to get out of that, let go of that yoke. As all of us on this line here is meaningful, and we can be very powerful, but we don't know what's keeping us down with ourselves blaming each other. We're not going to go nowhere. We have to learn to forgive, love, and speak to our Father, to not have a relationship with him, not look about what you have, what you can give, what God has given us to share. And we're here to share today, and I'm glad to be a part of it. So let's go forward. Let's brush off and put on a new man, take off the old, and move on and learn from what we experience here. But it all boils down to our Father. If we don't know who we are to him, who we are to each other, it's not going to work. And no, we all different, but we all blessed in that power. He gave us each one power Nobody is better than nobody. Nobody's same duplicate, but we're here for his purpose. So let's find out what our purpose is within ourselves, and then we can help each other.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I'm going to piggyback on just what you said.
Okay.
You know, just listening to you all this evening, just case in point, proves my point that we are and we have everything we need, just in this small group of us. And but you know, the power that Ruth Ministry just spoke about, yes, comes from God and through us. And I often talk about they and them. But now, you know, I focus on we and us, though. They're going to do what they're going to do. But it's up to us to do what we need to do. And now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I am so, man, I am, like I said, I'm so pumped up about so many things. To be at this particular age in life, in this stage in life, who have been there, done some things, you know, bumped my head, did all, you know, did some good things, some bad things as well. But the point is, where we are right now, we have the power. Brother Tom has mentioned the airwaves. And that's what I'm pretty much focusing on now. Because just listen, Dick, I say, just listening to this conversation this evening, can you imagine? And we just talked, just tip of the iceberg. But can you imagine with things like a podcast that you can get your message out there to a multitude of people in which we have the power to do so? We kind of, as a people, been in the defense mode, but it's time to go on offense.
Yeah.
We need to take it out there to our people because they're not going to come to us. We have to go to them. Where they at?
Yeah.
And we have the means to do it because we know where they at. We know they listen to certain type of music. We know that they go to certain Facebooks and TikToks and all of these kind of things. That's where they at. We know where our old folks go, our middle-aged folks go, our young folks go. We know where, there's no excuse. All we have to do is take the message to them. There's many ways of doing that. And so, you know, so I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to be called. I already called some of you today to set up an appointment with you. to do some podcasts and getting it off the ground. Dr. Wattis, I even left you a message today because, like I say, it's time to move forward. This is what is within me to tell you is that, like I say, no one can do it the way you do. No one can say it the way you do. And no one had that experience the way you have. And when you take all of that and put it together in your words, just like I heard tonight, I sit back and listen very intently to it with each and every one of you. And I already knew how powerful you are from my perspective. This is just my way of thinking of you, how powerful you are. I'm a strong old black man. Been around the block. I've been here, there, and done that. But guess what? I sit here just like a little child today, listening to each and every one of you, learning from you. But all of my years of experience, I learned something from each and every one of just this evening. So can you imagine? And my mind is full of stuff, you know, but can you imagine a young mind, a mind who's 30, 40, 20, 10 years old, and you able to share some of that wisdom with them? I wish I had wished some people would have done that to me when I was coming up. With all the wisdom that we have around this table right now. So all I'm saying to you all is this, you know, I appreciate you so much. And I believe you all know this, but at the same time, it's time for us to escalate. Yes, you did all of these things all of your lives. And you come to a point, but I believe that's why God brought us together here. So we can feed off each other, share with one another. And like I said, we can share with the world because all of these years of experiences, but I can't speak about nobody else, but I do know this about myself. All these years, man, I'm at a point now where I think I have something to share this with people, and I'm going to do it by any means necessary.
Amen.
Because then, you know, like I said, I'm not leaving here.
Amen.
I'm going to die trying anyway. Yeah. That that my contribution on this earth in this time, in this life, like y'all all said, we here for a reason.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this in closing. I like this saying because it makes so much sense to me. Like I said before, I said it last week. First of all, God gave each and every one of us our gifts.
Amen.
Everybody on here, for some reason, everybody don't do it, but y'all nurtured your gifts.
Amen.
Y'all studied y'all gifts. And then y'all gifts made a way for y'all. Y'all made living off your gifts.
Amen.
But now you are a gift.
Amen, Jesus.
And since you are a gift, it's not for you to keep. If the gift is for you to share with somebody, to give it to somebody.
Jesus.
And this is where we are now. All of us are gifts, and we need to take this gift and give it out there to the world because we can.
Amen.
We can. You heard it here just this evening. It's all in almost every economics, mental, spiritual. We heard it all right here this evening. We got everything we need, ladies and gentlemen. With that being said, I'm going to bid you all a good night. And you know, pick up the phone and call me. Brother Cliff, I know you're talking about doing some things. Man, my plate is kind of empty now. And let's do it.
Brother
Dave, I got your material. And I want to set up Tuesday or Wednesday. If you got some time, give me a call. So I want to do an interview with you. You know, Brother Leroy, I'm going to talk to you because me and you talked about a project, but we never finished. But like I say, Dr. Pender, I talked to you today. We have and Vernon, why I have you here? Because like I say, I'm getting up there, but sometimes I forget things. But you need to call Dr. Pender, Dr. Wattis, and a few other people because they're going to be doing a podcast and they just need a little bit information from you so that the podcast can run pretty smooth. And so I appreciate each and every one of you. And any parting words before I leave out here?
Yes, Brother David, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
This is Pastor.
Yes, sir.
A scripture as well as a couple of definitions on the word obstacle. One of the scriptures that I always keep in my heart is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. In the King James Version, it says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. In another translation, it says, do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. And also the definition, what is an obstacle? The dictionary definition is something that blocks one ways to prevent and hinder progress. Social condition. Definition is something negative that sparks blame and frustration, which shouldn't be happening to me. And the third one is the alternative definition, a challenging situation or experience that may ultimately lead to greater wisdom, creativity, and success. And that's the one I love to stand on. And also, Les Brown said it like this. He said, if there's no enemy within can do us any harm.
Amen.
So we have to deal with enemy within because this is my biggest obstacle. If I can talk about myself, my biggest obstacle was myself. I built the biggest obstacle by looking at what happened to me instead of where I can be and use those as stepping stones to get where I need to be. So I was my biggest obstacle. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, sir. That's a powerful way to end the day. You know, because we talked about it, we had the definition of it, and we know how to deal with it now. And so, like I say, no more excuses.
Amen.
You know, we have the tools. We got everything we need. We got each other, and most importantly, we got God. And so, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you all a good night. And by the way, we will be on tomorrow. Now, Kathleen and Walter Miller, I think they're still in town, but they had to leave. So, but tomorrow night, the podcast will be on. Matter of fact, Ruth Ministries will be one of the guest speakers, I believe. And then there's the young lady, Maya Smith, will be one of the speakers as well. And so stay tuned. Check us out tomorrow evening, 7:30, same time. And I appreciate you again, and I'm bid you good night. Take care.
Keep pounding, David.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.